It's Sports with Amy Reid.
And watch Fox Sports reporter Mike Yuva on 102.3 The Fox.
The man who not just covers sports, but has now turned into a meteorologist, Mike Yuva, up in Boston this week.
Yeah, enjoying a little vacation. Of course, maybe a little too cold to sit by the pool, but you know, it's always good to get back up north when I can.
I lived in Western Massachusetts in the Berkshires for a year, and it snowed. I was doing mornings up there, and so I'd wake up and like go out to warm my car up, negative 10, negative 13 degrees. Like it's that cold. As soon as you walk out, it's like straight to the bones cold.
No, it's a different type of cold, especially when you have that breeze. But you know, you get used to it, especially when you bundle up. It's the shoveling that I don't miss.
It's surprisingly, they say a lot of people shovel incorrectly. Like there's a skill and an art to shoveling. You need to push with your legs and not load your shovel up. And a lot of people have heart attacks and stuff from like straining and trying to shovel all the stuff. Are you the one responsible now because you're back home to handle the shoveling?
I did have to go back out. You know what the crazy thing is? The last time there was this much snow was in March of 2018. You think, all right, March, you're out of the clear. But of course, I came back at that time and there was over a foot of snow. So I just cannot catch a break anytime I come back here. So anytime I am back here, I get put to use and I'm forced to shovel. And I definitely don't miss those days.
Well, Mike, if it makes you feel any better, it's 48 and a little breezy here. So I'm also cold, okay?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm looking out at it right now, and all I'm just thinking about, I mean, granted, I understand it's not like, you know, 60, 70, 80 degrees right now in South Carolina, but when I get back down to South Carolina, I'm sure I'm going to be very happy just to feel the air that's going to be a little bit different in comparison to what it is right now up here.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple cool things happened this weekend, or this week, I should say. First, Dutch Forks, Antonio Williams, and we had just been talking about players, you know, having offers just because that team performed so well. He received an offer from Michigan State. Is that, and he had shared that on social media. Do you think did he commit to Michigan State as of now?
Be honest, there's some guys that I have not been following just because, okay, I'm on vacation in terms of just like the signing day stuff. But you know, we had the early signing day period on Wednesday, so a lot of guys did make their commitments because before it was verbal commitments and they could flip at any given time. So once they sign on Wednesday, they're able to, you know, they're in the database. They're in and they're good to go. So in terms of him, and I'm sure he was one of them. Like I said, I feel like I'm out of the loop on some of this stuff with the recruiting, but I know with him. I know with other guys across the Midlands, they made their commitments, and you know now they're ready to go. Now, with that being said, there's also another signing day period that will be coming up the first week of February on that Wednesday, the first Wednesday in February, which is usually the traditional day for football. The reason why they changed this a couple of years back is because football, outside of all the other sports, only had one signing day period. So they wanted to be able to create an early signing day period. So from talking with different coaches, both at the FCS, FBS, Division II levels, it does make for more work for them. But at the same time, too, it's got to a point now where they've had a couple of years to get used to this new adjustment, and it allows them to be able to kind of put things together a little bit quicker in comparison to having to wait towards February, because a lot of the big-name guys will make their commitments in December so that come February, they have a better idea of who else is still available, and they can start putting their roster together for the next year.
I like when people decommit, and I was like, I'm going to start wording my stuff like that. Like when things don't work out for me, I'll be like, I've decommitted from going low carb, you know?
Yep.
We're getting geared up tomorrow. Clemson versus Notre Dame. It's the ACC championship that airs tomorrow at 4. What are your predictions for that game? How do you think that's going to go?
Well, I think what we're going to see is we're going to see two teams that we saw earlier this year that know each other quite well. And it's going to be kind of like a heavyweight fight. You know, you're going to see teams try to feel each other out early on. And I think with Clemson, they're a team that have proven throughout the season, even during that Notre Dame game, you know, they're a team that they play so well in the second half. So if they can keep this game close for the most half in the first half and they can get to that second half, I can't see Clemson losing. And there's obviously a lot at stake for the Tigers, not just for the fact of winning the conference title for another straight year, which is just insane when you think about what they've been able to accomplish.
Yeah.
But to have the opportunity to make it back to the college football playoff, and to them, that's what their ultimate goal is. I mean, Dabo Swinney, of course, he'll say, yeah, we want to win the ACC championship. But if the roles were reversed here and they had lost to Notre Dame, or excuse me, they had beat Notre Dame earlier on this year, Notre Dame beats them in the ACC championship, I'm sure they'd be disappointed, but they want to make it to the college football playoffs. So this is just another, you know, another part of the journey that they're going to have to cross in terms of the conference title game. But it all comes down to about being able to get back to that national playoff and being able to compete for another national championship. So I think more than anything, this is going to be a very good game. Very excited for it, to say the least. And I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Notre Dame in the future. Is this a team that wants to remain independent, which they are for football, or do they do what they've done for every other sport, which is they are a member of the ACC? So, of course, they joined this year because of COVID. They didn't have many games to be able to play. I think it would be great to see Notre Dame in the ACC. Give Clemson a fight. I just don't like seeing Clemson just have that easy path, and it's no fault of their own, but the conference isn't as strong as it used to be.
What are some other – all right, so you, this is I obviously am not well-versed in college football question. What other teams are they – so they beat Notre Dame. Let's just say they head to the college football playoffs. Who will they be playing next?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. I think the team that's automatically locked in, regardless if they lose this weekend, would be Alabama. Alabama's undefeated. They're playing Florida in the SEC championship game on Saturday as well. And I think, you know, when you look at the body of work in comparison to just the other teams in the country, I feel like Alabama has just been the most consistent from start to finish. No one has really given them a game. And, you know, they've played one of the toughest schedules in the country as well. So I think regardless if Alabama loses, I think they're in. Okay. And now the next question comes down to who gets that final spot. When I say final, you know, if Notre Dame loses, Notre Dame drops to four, you know, I don't know how that's all going to work out. But that other spot, I think there's a lot of controversy surrounding it right now, is Ohio State. Because Ohio State has only played five games. They'll be playing six games. And, you know, when you look at the comparison to what Notre Dame's record is and Clemson's record, I mean, you're playing nearly half of the games that the other teams have played just because the Big Ten started so late. So I think, you know, from Ohio State standpoint, to me at least, I think they are one of the best teams in the country. And I think that's always the most challenging part with the college football playoffs. They always talked about when they brought this in a couple of years ago that it's not the most deserving team. It's the best team.
Yeah.
And to me, Ohio State is one of the best. However, this is where I contradict myself. I also find it hard to believe that you can put a team in there that has played half the amount of games that another team like Notre Dame, like Alabama, like Clemson has played and say, hey, here you go. Here's your opportunity. But I think that's what we're going to see. And I think Ohio State will be that fourth team in there.
I feel like Alabama is like one of the best teams year in and year out. You always hear about that.
Oh, yeah.
So do the conference championships not matter as much? And when I say not matter, like teams aren't affected, whether their college, their national conference playoff chances aren't affected if they lose the conference championships.
I think in terms of what the College Football Playoff Committee and the NCAA, they've been able to, what they've been trying to create is that in some sense, and Dabo Swinney mentioned this at the beginning of the week at his first ACC championship press conference, the conference championship, in a sense, is like a play-in game. You know, we've seen in college basketball where they have play-in games to be able to get into the field of 64 teams. Okay. In a sense, I feel like that's what these conference championship games are. Now, this year, and in some years, you're going to have a case where if you lose, you're still going to be okay. But especially this year in comparison to years past, just because not every conference has had an even playing field in terms of just the number of games played.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have a team like I mentioned, Ohio State, who they need to be able to win their game to be able to stay alive just because it's more so about number of games at this point. But you have teams that just, if for whatever reason, because of just how things have played out this year in terms of, you know, their conference, you have different games getting canceled because of COVID. It has put the ACC in a unique situation where they have an opportunity to be able to have two teams make the college football playoff. And I just don't think that's something that we're used to seeing at all from any conference. Yes, we've seen that before with the SEC when Alabama and Georgia made it a couple of years ago and they actually played in the national championship against each other. but it's not something that you're going to see often because that conference championship game, you know, 9 times out of 10 is usually going to be, like I said, that play-in game. So this year is very unique, and I don't think I need to tell that to anybody, but I think it's only fitting that during a unique year that we're going to get probably a unique situation in terms of seeing two teams from the ACC make it to the college football playoff.
That's a great point. Let's transition to basketball now, because first of all, Lady Gamecocks, I went to Temple University and they just destroyed my alma mater. It was 103-41. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, you couldn't just let them go up and down the court a few times and score to catch up. Their next game is at home on New Year's Eve.
Well, side note story I just want to bring up real quick about Temple. After the game last night, as you mentioned, they lost by 62.
Yeah.
You know, Temple head coach said, quote, "I felt like that was a complete waste of time. We didn't compete the way I thought we would. They hit us in the second quarter and just let them beat us up." So maybe one of the best quotes I've heard from a coach against South Carolina in quite some time. I felt like that was a complete waste of time. So sorry to Owl Nation out there.
And we're seeing with the Gamecocks men that they've had a few games canceled because of COVID. Will these games being canceled, is it going to affect the Gamecocks men the same way going down the line as far as, you know, depending how they do with, you know, getting to any kind of playoff situation? Like, how is this COVID stuff where, like, Ohio State's playing 5 games and games are being canceled now, starting to get canceled for the basketball season? How is that affecting, you know, the future playoff chances or things like that? Or we're just kind of winging it until we get there?
In terms of the college basketball playoffs, in terms of, you know, the NCAA tournament, I agree. I think, you're going to be in the same situation as you are right now, which is you have to put more weight on the conference games, of course, right? And hopefully we'll get into a situation where we won't see cancellations or postponements, because I think it's inevitable at some point, especially when we look at earlier on into the beginning of conference play in January. And who knows? I mean, we could be saying the same thing come late February, the beginning of March. But I think more than anything, it's how can you compare a team like, you know, for example, like Duke's not playing any more non-conference games right now. How can you compare a team like Duke compared to a team like, let's use South Carolina, for example, a team that actually has a name and has history when it comes to winning basketball games like Duke? And South Carolina, of course, they're a team that could use every win to be able to help them get in. So I think that's the tricky part when you're looking at situations like this from teams that don't win their conference tournament. Because if they win the conference tournament, they're in. Yeah. You know, that's the automatic bid. But if you don't win it and you're trying to get an at-large bid, and there's only so many at-large bids, how do you base that when you have teams that have only played X amount of games and it's maybe, you know, 10 games less or 8 games less? That's the tricky part. And I think the reality is, regardless of what people want to admit, that's where having that name like Duke sometimes can benefit you, because they look on the path. And I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's right. It should never be that way, just like it shouldn't be that way in college football. But I think, unfortunately, that is going to be the case. So I think if you're South Carolina, what you got to do is you just got to be able to make the most out of every opportunity that you do have when you do get to play conference games, knowing that, you know, your non-conference schedule, you had some difficult losses early on this season. You haven't been able to play the last couple of weeks. And once you get into the season, you don't know how many games you're going to be judged on. So you need to be able to try to do everything you can to take it out of the selection committee's hands, and by just winning games so that they don't have a choice but to put you in. But obviously that's much easier said than done.
Mike, people can hang out with you on Instagram at Mike.Yuva and on Twitter at Mike_Yuva. Are you in Boston now for the next few weeks? You're home for the holidays?
I'm in Boston until, let's see, Monday. I'll be coming on back, though. And I'll be back in studio from Tuesday to Tuesday. So I'll be there in studio for Christmas. We'll have a nice little Christmas edition of sports. So if people want to flip on over to watch Fox that day, we'll get something for you. But just a couple of days. I wanted to be able to come back for Thanksgiving, but of course, with everything going on right now, did not line up. And of course, when I did come back, it decided to snow. So, you know, there's that.
Making sure you get your fill while you're there. Well,
exactly.
I'm off from Christmas Day until January 4th, so we're not going to talk for a week and a half, but I'm sure we'll have a lot to catch up on come 2021.
I'm sure. Hopefully 2021 will bring us better luck than it did for in comparison to 2020.
Yeah. I'm team no hope. Like, I just don't even get any hopes up.
I know. I'm not one of these people. I'm not one of these people saying, oh, I can't wait for 2020 to get over. It's like, here's the reality. You're going to wake up. It's going to say January 1st, 2021. It's still another day.
Yeah.
All right. And I hate to say it. I don't want to be the person looking at the glass half empty, but, you know, I need to see some changes with my eyes first before I start saying, oh, yeah, you know, things are different this year.
Exactly. I'm with you on that. Well, I hope you have a Merry Christmas and a great New Year, Mike, and we'll talk to you in January.
Thank you, Amy. You too.